Blog Talk Radio.
Hello?
Hello?
Yeah, you hear me?
Peace, peace, family.
Yeah, I
peace, peace. Collective Minds Radio back in the building on this New Year's Eve. I'm Brother Kevin, and we here with Love Lashay and Mufasa Rai. Y'all here?
Yes, I am. I'm here. I'm here getting ready for 2018.
Right. 2018. That is, that's an 11 year. If you add the numbers up, the 2 plus the 1 plus the 8, they give us 11. So, you know, it should be an interesting year because 2017 was quite interesting, shall I say. It was a good year overall, you know what I mean, but also a very interesting year, and a lot of things was revealed, you know, in 2017. So, this show we wanted to talk about, I guess, our past shows and kind of give a rundown of 2017. But before we do that, how you doing over there, Love? To say everything good?
Yeah, everything is good. Everything is good with me. Just preparing for the new year.
Right.
Also, I don't know if you knew that that young lady Erica Garner passed away.
Oh, right. That's Eric Garner's daughter, right?
Exactly. 27 years old. Heart attack.
Oh, wow. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. I say. I didn't know that. So condolences and, you know, love and light goes out to the Garner family. And, yeah, that's crazy. I mean, just the stress of everything, having your father killed on TV and going through legal battles over the few years, you know, I'm sure that would take a toll on anybody, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah, you know, love and light goes out to their family, friends and families. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Did you have any other announcements?
No, that was all that I definitely wanted to touch base on. To my condolences to the Garner family and rest in peace, Erica.
Right. Okay.
I don't have any more announcements. Just encouraging everybody to continue to try to, you know, be positive and be the best they can be for this new upcoming year, 2018. All those who made it, everybody didn't make it to see 2018. So,
right,
consider
and that
this time.
Yeah, indeed, and that brings me to my list. Before we hop in the show, I just want to give a shout out to, you know, just notable or famous people that we've lost in 2017. And just say their name and give a quick ashe after their name because they have, you know, made the transition and moved to the realm of the realm of the ancestors. You know, I hate to say death or they died because the concept of death as we know it in the West is very different from, you know, how the ancients view it and how I've come to view death. And this time as a transition into another realm, you know. So I don't necessarily look at death as the end or, you know, you're done. I just look at it as a transition, you know, from one form to another form or dimension. So just wanted to put that out there. So the list we have, okay. Huh?
Now, I said I can follow that.
Right, for sure. Indeed. So as far as people we lost, now this is not in no particular order as far as, you know, when we lost them, but these are just people that are on the list. And one of the first people on the list is a great comedian. A lot of people know him from the Chappelle Show, doing the stories or the Hollywood stories with Prince, and that is Mr. Charlie Murphy. You know, we lost Mr. Charlie Murphy in 2017. We also lost Chuck Berry, which Chuck Berry is from St. Louis, right, Lovely Shay?
That's right.
Yeah, he's from St. Louis. He was a resident here. They used to have a concert at Blueberry Hill all the time. He's pretty much like a resident at Blueberry Hill in the Del Mar Loop, if, you know, anybody familiar with St. Louis. He used to play there all the time. I've had the pleasure of seeing him, meeting him. They resurrected the statue down there. And, yeah, so Ashe to Chuck Berry, he passed away in 2017 as well. All right. And another legend that passed away was Fats Domino. He was kind of before my time, but I do remember the name, and I know he's a legend, and he's done a lot, you know, for the culture. And
I didn't even know that.
Yeah, Fats Domino. And another person that passed, I remember this show used to come on back in the 80s. They used to have reruns. He was the man, and that is Robert Guillaume, better known as Benson. And I didn't know, well, I found out that he was from St. Louis, too. Did you know that, Tanya, that Benson was from St. Louis?
Sounds familiar.
Yeah, Benson from St. Louis. And they interviewed on NPR the brother that does the black rep, Ron Himes. I believe that's his name.
That's his name,
Ron, yep. They interviewed him and some other people from St. Louis, and he was just talking about, you know, how just about Robert Guillaume as an actor and how studied he was, how good he was, you know, starting off on stage and then basically getting the Benson Show, which was a spinoff of Soap. Anybody used to watch them old 80s, you know, sitcoms back in the day. So they gave him his own sitcom, and he was actually – you know, the man on the show. He, they say he wrote a lot, helped out on, you know, show topics and all that type stuff. So, you know, big shout out and a big ashe to Robert Guillaume, who made the transition. Also, Della Reese. You shot me in my pinky toe, Della Reese. Ashe to her. She was a comedian, actor. You know, had played in a lot of roles, real big in Hollywood. I personally remember from Harlem Nights. I love that character in Harlem Nights. You know, that was like a classic. Then we also got, let's see, I said Fats Domino. We got Earl Hyman. Okay, you may not know the name, but he was the dad on the Cosby Show. You remember him, Tanya?
All right.
The light-skinned, the older brother, Bill Cosby, dad.
Yeah.
Yeah, Earl Hyman. He passed away also in 2017. Yeah. So big ashe out to him. He made the transition. Bernie Casey. Now you may not know this name either, Love Lachey. But Bernie Casey, I remember he's an actor in Hollywood, a black male actor, and I remember him from Revenge of the Nerds when they had the black fraternity and they was getting into it, and the nerds had to get the black. Yeah, he was the older guy. Exactly. He was the older guy who was and then he was in I'm Gonna Get You Sucker too. That was another big role. So a big ashe to Bernie Casey. And Hugh Hefner passed away. I just had to throw that in there. He was the Playboy guy. I remember Playboy from, you know, back in the day. But he had a huge effect on America and the culture. So, you know, Hugh Hefner, Hugh Hefner made the transition. And Dick Gregory made the transition this year. Actor, comedian, activist, the man. He had information. He used to break down, tell you stories, be funny with it. Oh, just this man was amazing. Like, I really don't know what to say. Super duper legend. You know, also from St. Louis, but he's a worldwide comedian, ran with Malcolm X, knew Elijah Martin. You know, anybody you can name back in the civil rights movement, he was there. He's seen it all. And, you know, he made the transition in 2017. So a big ashe to Dick Gregory. All right.
Yeah, old Dick Gregory.
And we was trying to get him on the show to, you know, chop it up with him, have a conversation. And, you know, we just kind of missed that boat. You know, I love the brother. I love his energy, his honesty, his humor, you know. Just, yeah, just sad to see, you know, as time go on, how we lose, you know, the, you know, people that we look up to or whatever. And last but not least on the list of people we lost in 2017, Nicki Minaj's rap career. I'm sorry.
Oh, please.
Remy Ma killed her.
Don't even go there.
So R.I.P. to Nicki Minaj. And I love Nicki too, but she may have made it. She can come back, but 2017 was not a good year for
Nicki.
She
ain't went nowhere.
I said that too because I know Love Lachey.
I can't believe
but,
you say that.
Okay.
Yeah, it was R.I.P. She could come back, though. The lucky thing about it, she could resurrect herself in 18, but she did kind of
resurrect. She doesn't have to resurrect herself. She's not dead. It's not
well, her career is on the slide a little bit.
No, absolutely not.
From what the streets are saying, now she's still making pop music and all that, but I don't know. No, I love Nicki. I'm just talking.
Exactly.
I'm really just playing devil's advocate because I like Nicki. And I thought Sheetha did murder her, but she's slowly making a comeback.
Sheetha
did do her in. It did. Love Lachey, sorry.
Sheetha did not murder her. First off, I'm just.
It had on life support.
No. Sheetha was a seven. That's it. It was a seven.
Nah. I don't know.
You remember?
I don't know.
You remember a couple of years ago that that meteorite came in Russia and hit the side?
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, that's the same. That's what Sheetha did. It was a nice try, nice scare, but it didn't do no damage.
Oh, no.
It just hit the side. It was big. I mean, you saw the boom, you saw the smoking lights, but after all the smoke left and all the lights died, you didn't really have major damage.
Right. Yeah.
It was no major damage.
It was major damage, but you gotta remember, Love Lachey. She shut down the internet for like a whole day or two. Like it was just like she broke the internet literally when she dropped Sheetha.
But at the end of that one day, like I said, when you do all the assessment, it still was nothing because. It didn't really elevate her to the degree that she would like to be. Not to the degree that she would like to be. It didn't take her too many levels up. It didn't do nothing for her. And it didn't bring Nicki down at all. It didn't do much. After it was all said and done, it didn't have that after that one little day, It just wasn't no. It was not.
Right. So let's say this, and we'll end it right here. I'm gonna ask you this: can you say, just based off Sheether and whatever Nicki's response was, whether it was the song with Drake, No Frauds, or whether she said something on another track, just based off battle rap, and you've been around hip-hop and you know when people battle, who won that battle? Can you say Remy Ma won? Can you give us that? Did she win or no? Now, we ain't talking about accolades. We're not talking about money. We're not talking about pink Bugattis or, you know, whatever Nicki be running. We're not counting none of that. We just talking this particular, you know, one or two round battle. Who won?
I wouldn't say that Remy won. I think that was a good fight. I think that was a good round that she put out. Like I said, I still rated a 7. I think she did good for who she is, for her lane. You know, I think she did good for her lane. She you know, did her 7, which she typically kind of stays within that range anyway, 7. She do have that one song that's out now, Lil' Kim. I think she kind of raised a bit on that. I kind of gave that like an 8 to 9. I typically usually rate her as a 7 overall on average.
You say you rate Remy Ma 7?
Yeah, I do. Now, when she did that song with Lil' Kim, the recent one with Lil' Kim, and the one that she have out with Keisha Cole, I thought she did good as a feature on that Keisha Cole song. And with this Lil' Kim song that's out, I think I gave her about an 8.5 to 9 on there. I think she did really good on there. I gave her a lot of credit on there. But she has always been a 7 to me, even just as a battle rapper. It was just what she is to me, a 7. And I think that's good.
A 7 is a C, Ty. Love Lachey. A 7 is a C, Love Lachey.
Well, that's good. I mean,
that's average.
If I'm on my kids work hard, she works hard, and my daughter brought home a C, I'm gonna give her some ice cream. She did good.
Yeah, right. All right, that's what's up. Yeah, we'll be all day on that. But that was just another highlight of 2017. So, yeah, I guess we just going to go off the top of the head since we missed
the co-host. Yeah, I got the list up. The first show was, Is the Bible Still Relevant Today in 2017? I still say yes to
me. Right. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, like I say, it is and it isn't, because I feel like we as a people are moving away from organized religion as we know it. And a lot of people are starting to be, you know, more critical of the Bible and the text and the stories. And, you know, is it really allegory? Is it to be taken literal? You know, what are these stories about? Is this a metaphysics to it? You know, what are the hidden meanings in the Bible? Is this some astrology, astronomy that they're attached to it, cosmology, all these different type of things and questions are being put on the mainstream, you know, and are being held up to the Bible and to see, you know, what can the Bible stand and is it relevant in today's time with all the information that we're getting, you know, with computers in our pockets and, you know, access to information at the touch of a finger. So I think it is, and it is relevant because it allows us to question a lot of things with the information that we're able to get. It allows us to analyze and question the Bible more. So it is necessary, I feel like, anyway. It is relevant to help us get over the hump of religion as humanity and come to a,
so
you know, just a more.
Because the last time when we did the show, you were saying no. So you're saying a slightly different now.
Yeah, slightly different. So it's relevant in that point, but I also say it's not relevant because I feel like it's 2017 and we should be so far past mythology, in my opinion. But I digress, you know. But, yeah, so I kind of slightly changed as far as it being relevant. It is and it isn't, you know. So I'll leave it right there. I digress.
What about, did the Obama presidency ruin or improve race relations in America? Have your view changed on that?
I still feel the same because I believe, you know, I can stand correct and go back and listen to the archives, but I believe I was just saying that I don't think Obama has hurt it or helped it, because I think the race relation has always been terrible in this country. You know what I'm saying? It's from day one, the race relations have been terrible. It started terrible. I don't think at no point the race relations were ever what I consider good. You know, there's been times where, you know, people didn't complain or there wasn't no protesting or wasn't no marching. You know, but for the most part, it's, you know, race relations. I don't even like to use race relations, but for the sake of a lack of a better term, I don't think, yeah, Obama helped or hurt race relations. I think they always been here. Just certain people bring it out in different ways, you know. Sometimes it's covert, and some presidents bring it out, and it's overt, where it's in your face, like you see with, you know, Mr. Donald J. Trump.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think it has always been horrible. So I wouldn't blame that on him either. Next we have, what are solutions to lower crime rate in America's inner cities like Chicago? What are some solutions?
Oh, right, right. Yeah, I think I might have talked about it. The solutions have been laid out. Like, I don't think, you know, we realize how the solutions have been laid out. And I think the powers that be know how to stop crime. Like, it's really, I don't think it's rocket science. But as far as, you know, the black community and us dealing with eternal problems, with us hurting each other, I think we need to get a code of conduct. As far as dealing with each other, you know, we got to get a code of conduct. So, therefore, if there are disagreements or whatever, we know how to deal with them. And there's certain codes and rules and boundaries that are set, you know, where we deal with each other. So, and then just the basic, you know, opportunities, jobs, blah, 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 resources. All
right,
those things
all have to
do have crime, yeah, do have lower crime as well. So,
push all those resources, put everybody pretty much, you know, give her just release the resources. That's all we need, you know.
Right.
I think that would definitely help crime substantially. So, next we have, if your mate was sentenced to 5 years, would you stay committed to them?
Right, this is a good show. Now, this is one of the shows I remember. This is a good show. Yeah, I like this show. I mean, that's all I can say. This is a good show. If you get it, if anybody listens, get a chance, check that out in the archives.
Yeah, that was one of my favorites, too.
Yeah, that was
and
a
I,
good show.
My opinion on that definitely have not changed at all.
Mine either.
Yeah. Well, what was yours? You say you'll stay, right?
Yeah.
You
say
you'll stay.
Right, right. Facts.
Gotcha. Right. I'm opposite for those who may be listening. Next we have, did hip hop affect the black family structure?
Okay, that was a good one. I think Benzino was on that show, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Excuse me, I'm sorry. Was that okay? Yeah. Excuse me, y'all. But yeah, that was a good show. I'm trying to remember because, hip hop does have an effect on our community. You know, it's art imitating life, and it's life imitating art. So it's kind of meshed together, and you know, the things that we see and do are often reflected in the music, good and bad, you know what I'm saying? So so I feel like, you know, if we change ourselves and change our mentality and our conduct, you know, get black self-respect, black dignity, black pride, you know, black self-worth, and all these things, that will start to show in our music, you know. And I don't think we can necessarily look for the music to change first and then change the people. I think it's going to be like a combination of both. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, so. We change the music. So I definitely agree with you on that.
Facts.
So the next one is, are all white people racist?
Oh, this is a good one. Now, this is one of my favorite shows. And, I mean, has mine changed? Not really, but I'll take a half a step back and say, they may not all be racist, but we should suspect that we are dealing with a racist. You know, I just think in any dealings, just to safeguard, you know, look out for ourselves, and just based on the history as a group. Now, I'm speaking as a group because we do know, you know, you treat individuals how they come. But as a group, I feel like, yes, we should look at that particular group as potential. They could be practicing racism if we're not around. I think my views still stay the same on that.
Mine stay the same. I don't think that they're all, all white people are racist. So mine stay the same on that. Did all races of people come from African people?
This is a good one, too. I like this show, too. Mine still stay the same until I get some other evidence. Like, with that, you know, I just go with the climate. But mine's just open because I'm not real rigid on it. But I know in the show I said I went with the climate adaptation theory. The climate adaptation mean, you know, the Africans migrated, you know, out of the heart of Africa, sub-Saharan, Ethiopia, Nubia, Kush, all that area, migrated to the north, got stuck in over the 52 parallel where it was cold, got stuck in an ice age, no sun, blah, blah, blah. And then over time, they skin just depigmentated and, you know, they just lost the melanin in the skin based on the years of not seeing sun or whatever. So I still stick to that for the most part until, you know, I get some other evidence. I do know some people be talking about gene splicing and, you know, they've been mixed with other things and different races were mixed with other things. And I don't know. You know what I'm saying? I don't know. I'm just going to go with the theory that makes the most logical sense, you know, in my mind, you know. And so, I'm still the same on that one.
Yeah, I'm still the same on there, too, because I never really had a strong opinion about it, so I'm still kind of like open. I was never swayed one way or the other. I just think that, you know, without actually being there, that's just something that's just going to be too hard to prove. So I'm not too locked down on anything.
Exactly.
How I was, so. And
exactly.
Next,
it's damn near impossible to prove.
Right. So it's like I don't have that strong opinion. But a lot of the theories are very interesting, though.
Facts, and that's what I like.
So next we have, we was breaking down the Steve Steffens Easter Mass.
What happened?
Down Steve Steffens Easter Massacre.
Oh, the brother that went on the massacre, right? I almost forgot about that.
No, I did too.
I almost forgot about that. Right. That was crazy. That seemed like that was so long ago.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like that was in 17.
Yeah, like it seemed like that was years ago, but no, that was this year.
Yeah, in April, actually.
In April, wow.
Yeah, well, almost halfway in the year.
Right. That's before, yeah. So... Yeah. Wow, yeah, that was crazy. Like, that was unprecedented. But for somebody to flip like that, he killed the old man on Facebook Live. He was riding around, tripping. That was a crazy. Like, I don't know if that was some mind control.
May
they
kill him?
Yeah. They caught him at a McDonald's, or he killed himself or something like that, yeah.
Okay.
He killed himself
for
that. The lady, one of the lady at McDonald's had recognized him and turned him in. Yeah, that was crazy. He was on the run for a minute in Cleveland, wasn't he? Didn't he get caught at Lake Erie or Ohio or somewhere?
I just know it was about a large fry at McDonald's. Something around, centered around.
Right,
yeah, that
that's
was
how
crazy.
They caught him.
So rest in peace to the victims there.
Rest in peace to the victims. I say to the old man, for real.
We have has the interaction between police and civilians improved since Ferguson?
Oh. No.
I still say
no.
No.
So that's an easy one. Next.
Yeah. Right. Is Jesus coming back? Has your opinion changed?
Next.
Does the practice of polygamy and polyandry better or worse, and does it help or hurt the community?
What's that, polygamy or polyandry?
The practice of it. It's like, you know, it may have some benefits, but overall I don't think it's the necessary practice for us to be a better community.
Indeed. I'm with you. Like I was saying on the show, I don't think it's necessary at this time. Nor do I think we are mentally capable of, like I would say the majority of us, I don't think the majority of us are mentally capable of handling those type of relationships, just to put it plain and simple. You know, I don't think it's that time. However, you know, it does have benefits that I see. But like I say, I don't think we're mentally there as a group, I don't think it's necessarily necessary to have a, you know, a constructive, strong society. So, I'm pretty much like I was on the show, I guess. Like, I'm not knocking it, or I ain't promoting it, you know what I'm saying?
Right. Yeah,
I see some of the benefits, but I don't think it's necessary for us right now, and I don't think we're mentally there to do that. So,
And next.
You kind of breaking up, love, listen.
Oh, okay. We have, is it, okay, next. Okay, we did a part two on polygamy. So is it about time that black people stop using the N-word?
Yeah, I mean, I go back and forth with this. I mean, sometimes I use it. Most of the time I don't, but I go back and forth, which I probably was saying on the show. Like, I don't know if we should put it up because it is some niggas out here. Like, for real. It's,
yeah.
It's the niggas,
yeah.
The nigga mentality is out here for real.
Yeah.
And,
my opinion stays the same on that, too. It's like,
yeah.
I don't think, for me, either way, you know, I don't get entangled with none of these words. So, you know, I've felt that way before. That's how I still feel.
Right, X, yeah, because I got a little nigga in me, so. But I digress.
Next we have, what is the history of Juneteenth?
Oh, okay, yeah, that was a good show. We had Baba from the store. What's is his name on there, Tanya? I forgot. Baba J. Yeah, Baba J.
Okay.
Yeah, we had Baba J on that. Yeah, that was a good show. Juneteenth.
Yeah.
I learned a lot on that show. About the history in St. Louis. Yeah, I learned a lot about Juneteenth. So, yeah, check that out in the archives.
Yeah, we went on to discussing the All Eyes on Me movie. Was the movie produced prematurely?
Right, yeah, that was a good one, a good movie.
Yeah, I know that we at one point was thinking that from the previews, I think we all had an opinion of what the previews, but then once we all seen the movie, I think we all kind of had a change of heart that we expressed on the show. It turned out to be a lot better than what I thought it was going to be based off of the previews, I will say
the
that.
The review, right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah, I agree. It turned out to be a nice movie, a very, a decent movie for what it was. And I think it was right on time. You know, it was right on time. As a fan, I enjoyed the movie. It was good. No, I was just going to say they pretty much scratched the surface as far as a lot of stuff we had knew that they showed. But I thought it was put together well, and it was a good movie. So.
And we right on up the ladder to what will it take for black lives to ever matter in a system of white supremacy?
That was a good one. They won't. I mean, if you said, because it's based on the question, they would never matter in a system of white supremacy. So to answer the question, we got to eliminate white supremacy. This racism, white inferiority complex, in other words. We just got to eliminate that. And white supremacy is really dead, like, because once it go mainstream, I mean, everybody should know. And since Donald Trump got in office, it has went mainstream. You know, if you remember before he got in office, I used to, you know, talk about white supremacy on, you know, my little platform, social media. And, you know, people wasn't really, some people was familiar with it, but now since Trump got in office, it went mainstream. Like, you see it on Fox News, CNN, The Word, you know what I'm saying? They normalizing it because we could see this coming. Like, you could see it coming. So That's why I was talking about it so much. But now that it's out in the open and it's like mainstream, and it's basically being discredited through the mainstream. So I'm like, I really don't have to say it that much, you know what I'm saying, as I used to talk about, you know what I'm saying, because it's already out there. So now it's time for solutions. It's like, if you don't, like, you should know. If you're paying attention, it's mainstream. So you should know, you should study it, you should break it down, and then all lives matter. Once you break down, you know, systematic white supremacy, then all lives matter. You know, they're like,
this is justice. Finish wounds, you know. Not at all. I agree with a lot of what you're saying and add on, like on the show, that a lot of it to me is also spiritual as well, you know. But moving right along to, I think this was a good one too, abortion. This is our abortion topic. Are you pro-choice or pro-life? Why or why not? Have you changed?
Oh, yeah, I don't even remember this show. But, yeah, I mean, that may have been a little too honest, but I don't know if I've changed. I can't. No, I think I've stayed the same because my views on abortion has been the same for a while. Well, no, I take that back. I went back and forth, but I don't think it's changed since the last show. You know, I'll leave it right there. You still there, Little Michelle?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I mean, I can elaborate as far as abortion, because I was thinking, you know, I wouldn't necessarily use it as a form of birth control or anything like that. I've grown wiser to not actually, I wouldn't do it myself, let's say. Moving forward, I wouldn't do it. But I don't think it should be against the law for anybody else, like any late term and all that type of stuff. Yeah. Should it be illegal? I don't know. That's why I don't know if, you know, we should dictate what somebody does, especially if somebody, in the case of being raped or, you know what I'm saying, situations where it's extreme. But I don't know if it should be illegal or legal. You know what I'm saying? I don't think it should be illegal. I think it should be a personal choice for that particular woman, because that's what, you know. You know, so, but.
I mean, but see, the thing is, though, if you legalize it, like, say, for instance, if it's not legalized, and then people, because they ultimately really still have the choice to do it or not, whether it's legal or not legal. Because if I'm my own individual in my house, because people break the rules all the time, especially if it's something that's, you know, something that's piercing to them and that profound, where they're gonna make their own choice. So the problem is gonna be if it's illegal, and then they don't have the right tools to do it the correct way, and then, you know, harm themselves, the babies, all those types of things, which is the issue. So that's what it gets a little torn for me, because I don't agree with abortion. And even if I say, well, make it illegal, my concern is going to still be with the women or men, because you have some very controlling men that say, if I have to take this baby out of you myself, I'm going to do it. Believe it or not, you got some idiots out there like that. So you have people that are going to take the power in their own hands and do it anyway. So ideally, I would just like to... I would really, in my world, everybody would just feel like, you know, it's not something that we should do. Don't kill the baby. Don't abort, things like that.
Right. Indeed.
But that, yeah. My opinion changed on that at all. So that's what, how I felt then, too. So moving right along to, what are your thoughts on interracial relationships? Are you for or against it? Have you changed?
No, I think I've stayed the same. You know, I think so. You know, I think I'm pretty consistent on that. Like, I don't care. Like, my opening statement is always, I don't care what people do. You know, that's on them at the end of the day. But in the particular world and system that we live in, I think it's imperative to build, strong black families, in my opinion. You know, we have to start building and repairing each other. So, you know,
mm-hmm.
I'll just leave it right there. That's, you know, that's how I feel. So,
my opinion with that stays the same. You know, I don't see a problem with it. I think it's okay, you know, as long as both parties are in agreement and nobody's feeling forced and they are truly in love.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know,
I remember that show was coming back. I talked about the power dynamic between the races is one of the reasons why I don't necessarily agree with it, just due to the power dynamic, you know. But I went into that on the show. That was one of the reasons. But yeah, what we got next?
We have R. Kelly. Do you think R. Kelly is out of line?
Damn. That was around the cult situation, I think. Wow. I don't know what to say. Right.
You got a line.
Yeah, I mean, I've been on record saying, yes, I think he's out of line.
Yeah.
Can a nigga make good music? Is he a musical genius? Yes.
Right, but that ain't the question.
Yeah, that's not the question. That's not the question. So I've been on record saying, you know, he's out of line, but, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, I he's out of line. Especially considering, you know, the things that he had already been through, like, yeah. You just want to be a little more, you know, just
exactly.
Be a little more comfortable, you know. But next we have ways to strengthen the family structure.
Okay. I think my view is pretty much probably stay the same, but there's always things you can add. And I'm just kind of coming off the top of the dome, but let's see. Because my thing is always going back to the code, going back to less TV, you know, trying to eat together, little things like that, you know, play some games, anything, you know, to strengthen the family structure. And people not giving up on each other in relationships, like, cause that's the first start. Like, we got to have healthy, you know, male-female relationships, man-woman relationships. Mm-hmm. Let that be healthy, then you can build a family on top of that, but you know, if it's so if it's dysfunctional, then that translates down to the family, and you know, baby mama's different, broken, you know, different little things. But if we, you know, work on relationship building.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah, my opinion, well, I guess it really wasn't a matter of opinion. It was just some suggestions and things like that, my ways to strengthen the family structure. I can't imagine that I don't know if I would change my mind to what I said then, although I don't remember. So we're going to move on.
Yeah, it
I'm
is.
Sure I,
right.
I'm sure whatever I said then, I still agree with.
Right. That's what I was thinking, because I didn't remember either. I was going off the top.
How do we get more Black empowering film music out to mainstream?
Right. Okay. I'm gonna be honest. I wasn't feeling this. So I ain't like the way, because we could talk about this. We doing a year in review. I didn't necessarily
mm-hmm.
like the way that was worded. Because
yeah.
I feel like that, like that's a simple answer. Like we need more Black people in positions, heads of studios, and we're not where we used to need that stuff in order to get films done. But now it just takes us getting it done. You know, the movies that we want to see, the people got to make them. Because now it's to a point where all you need is a couple cameras and a nice script, and you could do something that blow up, you know what I'm saying, and throw it on YouTube. You put on YouTube or different outlets, like it's just so many different outlets. I just feel like that wasn't necessarily the right question, because, you know, there are Black films being made, but we just gonna have to make them. We gonna have to control the image and control the content, you know what I'm saying? But that's what it's gonna come down to. That's why I really like that question, because it's like it's obvious the Hollywood studios they're never gonna give us, you know, the full empowerment type movie, you know, that's gonna move the culture. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like it happened by default, just because, you know. You know, people are so brilliant, and it happens once those movies come around once in a lifetime that actually change the culture. But Hollywood is not necessarily go back that. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Like they put their money in like slave movies and, you know, Black dysfunction movies and what's a lot of the movies they be doing, the Christmas dinner movies, the soul food dinner movies, and them type of things. But, you know, something truly empowering, we going to have to do ourselves. So, but, yeah, that's just my thoughts on that episode. You know. Love to say. What we got? We still on? Hey, what's this, April Fool's, y'all? What's happening? Who on the line?
Yeah, sorry about that.
Yeah. Oh, okay, no, my bad. I should have. I thought the line may have dropped. We live on the air.
But.
No, this is live uncut.
This is one of your favorites. I can tell you right now. Would using a system of code be a strong way to bring unity to Black people?
Right. Yes. Yes. And yes. Right. Yeah. So yeah, my views haven't changed on that. And I just feel like the code would help us out, because that doesn't necessarily, we have to agree on everything. You know, that doesn't necessarily mean we have to be, everybody got to be best friends and kumbaya and doing all this and that. No, you can still be an individual, but you understand the codes of the culture, you know, and those codes are set up to protect you from getting out of line. You know what I'm saying? And it has to be, it got to be like an organic, you know, real type of thing. You dig what I'm saying? Like, it can't be manufactured. It got to be like just come naturally, because a lot of things got to remain unspoken or unwritten. You know what I'm saying? You got to teach these things through coded language, and you got to teach these things through subliminals. You know what I'm saying? Like, but I think codes would definitely help us. And when I say us, I'm speaking from a black perspective. I think a code of conduct would help black folks. And what are some of the codes? I think we went over these over the show. What are some of the codes? You know, and I got to just give a shout out to, you know, Dr. Francis Cress Wilson and Millie Fuller, because these people, you know, who I get a lot of knowledge from. But, you know, some of the codes are just race first. You know, love yourself is a code. Try to don't get into conflict with other black people. Try to lessen the conflict with other black people. You know, because that's one of the things that make the system go. Us getting at each other, you know what I mean? Especially when it gets violent and all that, you know, that's when it gets out of line. You know, we got to understand, we got to study more, you know. I would say try to read a book a year, even if it's just a small book, but try to, you know, read a book a year. Study melanin, you know, learn about melanin and how that's a powerful cosmic substance that, you know, fuels the cosmos and this entire planet. And that's why, you know, black people are brown skin and black skin, because we have melanin. Words are very important. We got to understand how we use words, how to communicate. Just a lot of things, and I'm saying this, you know, definitely for me as well. Like, these are all things that I'm working on, and, you know, I try to live by the code and the structure. But like everybody, we fall short on some things. But if we come to a consensus on the core of these codes and what it means, you know, to be black in this system, and we understand how to maneuver, you know, how to navigate. Like another code, speaking of Ferguson, when you pulled over by the police and you behind enemy lines, just for instance, just for police brutality and all that, the best thing to do is comply under the code. You know what I'm saying? Because why? Because number one, you black and you don't have the rights as everyone else. In a lot of situations, like, you're not given the benefit of the doubt, you know. So right off the jump, you don't want to give anyone a reason to harm or mistreat you. You know what I'm saying? You can look at it like the system wants to harm, mistreat you, possibly kill you. Like, this is what the system wants, so you have to engage like that, you know. And we have to tell our kid, like, if you get pulled over, you accosted by the police, just comply. That's the simplest thing. Not saying that's going to save you every time, but what are you going to do? You behind enemy lines. You know, unless you just about that life and you just want to get busy, then, you know what I mean, then by all means, whatever, you know, but if you're being smart and strategic, then you just need to comply. You know, that's just an example of a code, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, I think the code would help. I still feel that way. There's hundreds, maybe thousands of codes out there. I've been working on a list just for me. I may publish it one day, but, you know, I've just been working on a list just of things that will help neutralize the system that we're currently under, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And that brings us to the next one. What is the nationality of the descendants of enslaved Africans in America? And why don't I remember that story, that topic at all? I don't remember this.
Right, I remember this one. I remember this one because we got into some Moore's information. I think we had a brother call up. One of the callers was talking about nationality. But, yeah, this was a good one. I remember this one, you know, because that's, again, that's one of our biggest issues is an identity crisis, you know, in a world and a society full of identities and heritage and history. The African and American has been cut off from all of that. You know, the African and American has been trying to get his and her humanity back. So let alone the history and culture and these other things, we first had to get our humanity back. You know, and so identity has been a huge issue in our community. Like, this is a fact. You know, we went from African to nigger to Negro to colored to black, African American, you know, Hebrew Israelites, Moors, like, all these different debates and things come up, which I think is healthy because at some point we gonna get to the answer. You know, we go form an identity, or we go, you know, we go come up with something to that we can all agree on. You know, we Pan-African. You know, just different ideologies and identities that we trying to figure out. Based on, you know, you know, just based on the history, us, you know, being kidnapped, humanity, history, culture strip, name, language. And so we've been lost for a few years, and it don't seem like it because we out functioning in society. We're working, we're conducting business, we're, you know, interacting with people. However, there's been a lot of psychological trauma and damage that has been done to black people as a whole, and it still continues to this day. You know, speaking of Eric Garner, daughter, Erica, I say, you know, she had a heart attack at a young age, but these things are real. Like, the trauma has affected us, and we have not been correctly healed or addressed it so we can move forward. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, and these are not excuses by any means. I hope people don't think that. Like, this is just the reality. You can still function. You can still get along in society. You can, you know, still do these things. But as a group, I'm saying, there's been a lot of things done in the past that has affected us up to this day, which is why we see a lot of the things that we see going on. You know, there's a logical explanation to the things that are happening in quote unquote black communities. You know,
yeah.
So yeah. So yeah.
Yeah.
That's what it is. So, yeah, so identity, so that brings, because this was the identity show, right?
Yeah.
So that identity is big. Like, I feel like if we had an identity, that would be the first step to, or that would be one of the first steps to establishing the culture and the code that we need. But since everyone's scrambling for identities, we all over the place as far as identity. Some people are American. Some black people feel like they're African. Some black people feel like they're American. Some black people feel like they're Hebrew. Some black people don't even feel like they're black. They feel like they're Moors. Some people feel like they're African American, black. You know, it's just these different titles. And I'm with you, Love Lachey. Like, they're just titles and names. However, the definitions and stigmas that are attached to these titles is the issue. You know what I'm saying? That's where the issue is, even though they are just titles, but there are certain, labels and expectations and, everything else that are attached to these labels. And that's where we got to define what we are, And, that day will come. That day will come where we define who we are and move like that, move as a unit. So, where we at?
The next one we did is boycotting the NFL an effective way to show support for Colin Kaepernick.
Yeah, I think I was saying yes. I've been team F the NFL for a minute, even before the Kaepernick thing, I stopped watching the NFL. But, yeah, I think it showed solidarity as far as people standing, standing with Kaepernick. But, Muggs didn't want to give up football, So it wasn't no big thing. But I think that was a way of support. I think if you was a football fan and you stopped watching, that was a way of supporting Kaepernick as you took some eyes off the NFL that they needed. You took some advertising dollars away and all that. So,
consistency and, that they kept with it, the tenaciousness of it, I think ultimately end up, helping. Like with anything, if you stick to something, commit to something and see it through, then you'll see results regardless of what it is. So I guess
that
in this sense,
fact.
I think, because if, on this one here, I can't remember what my stance was, but I know what it is now. I like to say, I know sometimes, we changed. So I just don't know what it was then, but now the boycott, to ask that question now is basically kind of after the math of it and seeing, how it did do. I will say, like I just explained just a second ago, the commitment behind it, definitely, gave some good results, I guess they was just too stubborn to actually give the young man back his job, but I thought that would have at least come out of it, but I think they was probably too stubborn to allow that to happen. They wanted to really make a tough stand.
So
next we have, what could be the cause of these recent massive unpredicted hurricanes?
Oh, the hurricane show, I was still saying this particular, it probably wasn't Harp. It was just a strong hurricane, just a strong hurricane. You know, I don't think I don't know if they control and harp like that, and I don't want to give them that much power. You know, I just think that was just a, one of them, you know, times that when it come, when it roll around, it's just a cycle of, you know, every so often the hurricanes get, you see a catastrophic hurricane. And that's based on populations and population growth and all that. So, yeah, that's where I was at. And shout out, you know, everybody in the Caribbean, Bahamas, Nassau, Puerto Rico, all the islands. Peace, peace. They got hit hard these last few. They got hit hard these last few years, for real.
Yeah.
I'm real glad, you know.
Yeah. Okay, moving on along to now this one's what's the Shockley verdict. How should the community react to the not guilty verdict of Jason Shockley?
Right. Yeah, that was a tough question because, I don't know, it's kind of listening to it now, it's kind of hard to say how somebody should react. You know, my reaction was to try to just get on code. That's it. Study the code, study the system, and try to get on code, you know. So I couldn't. The protesters was doing their job. I was not so much with it at first. Like, it's not a particular route I would take. But then again, I'm not going to knock what they was doing. You know what I'm saying? Because this,
yeah,
it's a place for everything, you know, so.
Mm-hmm. And I can see that. I can see that. Because I do agree, like you say, it's easy to say what a person should and shouldn't do. Ideally, you just like to, you know, like to believe that you are doing the right thing and
right.
Hope everybody else around you is too, you know, but I can agree with that. I can definitely agree with that. And moving along to what happened to 19-year-old Kanika Jenkins. Man, did you hear the latest?
Gotta give us the latest, and I'm gonna let you get the latest, then we can move on. What's the latest?
Now the latest is that it's three girls involved. Two of them are dead. One of them died before Kanika Jenkins. And apparently they had paid Kanika Jenkins to come in and do the walk down the halls like she did. All that was supposedly been staged. Everything's supposed to been staged now. Because Kanika, they say, looked like the lady who died first. And so they say because Kanika resembled the lady so much, they staged everything. They paid Kanika. The party was staged. Everybody at the party, everything was staged. And they paid Kanika to do all this, walk through all that. And they ended up killing her because they changed their mind and found that her body and organs was just a little bit more valuable than the first lady that they killed. But everything was staged. They even say that wasn't even Kanika's mom. They say that wasn't her mom, her sister, and everything was just... I say this is, you know, this story here is just getting... I like to consider myself a deep individual, but I will say that I'm stumped here. They didn't just took this one a little too deep for me. I can't even come up with no more theories or just as I'm
right.
I can't keep up. I can't keep up with them. The internet.
Definitely you thought you heard it all.
Too deep. Yes, exactly. The internet has yet outdone itself again.
Once again, the internet is a
once
word,
again,
boy.
Yes, the internet just, and they done got way
brutal.
Too deep, man. They say that's not, that wasn't her mother, her sister, everything was staged, but it was still about organs and, you know, the selling organs and things like that, but... So yeah,
wow.
that was interesting. So yeah, that case is currently still going on. So y'all can go and follow that. It's too deep for me. And so we're gonna move on to is Donald Trump uniting the country or creating more division? Mine's still the same.
Yeah, mine too.
I give it a little bit of both, you know.
The
for those that love
them,
yeah, the division been there. For some, it may be a slight unity because people, you got some people that don't like them, and some people that
right.
do.
So, right, moving right along.
Yeah, what are your thoughts on the mass shooting in Las Vegas?
Out of Vegas shooting. Okay. But yeah, that was deep. I mean, we ain't really, because what we looking like on time? We got about 14 minutes of the live broadcast. But yeah, ain't too much to say on that. I mean, the information, I think it was something more going on, because after a few weeks, it started coming out that the security guard had changed his story. And by the time he was changing his story about when he had got shot and when he knocked on the door and all this other craziness, and there was a lot of discrepancies. He running around doing interviews. So now it makes me think that there was some foul play going on, and there may have been more than one shooter, you know. But,
mm-hmm.
yeah, it is what it is. I think it may have been more than one shooter now that this stuff came out later. You know, weeks later.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So.
What? Okay, let's go on to, are white people also victims of systematic racism, white supremacy?
Absolutely not. Next.
What is your perception of God?
So now I say the same. perception of God. This is a good one. I enjoy this one. I wish I could have got a little deeper as far as the perception. Because I was trying to convey that God was the all, that, you know, there's nothing outside of God. You know, it's part of everything. Everything we see is just God broken into fragments, you know, and then to go back to that whole, at some point, that singularity. But, yeah, that was a good show. My views are still the same. The God is in the mirror. By you being conscious of yourself, that makes you able to be the Christ. You know, just by the simple fact that you're conscious of yourself and of reality. You have the potential to be the Christ. And you were made in God's image, you know.
Mhm.
You know, so
yeah.
Most of us fall short, but you know, that's what we try to be anointed. Yeah.
Mhm. Yeah, I can roll with that. How effective is voting for the black community?
Oh, okay. Yeah, this is a good one. I mean, on a scale of 1 to 10, how effective is it? I would say a 5.
Yeah, I would probably give it a little less than that, but we can move right along.
Yeah, moving right along.
Is sexual orientation determined at birth, or is it for a more sinister agenda? As if,
oh, right.
Is this something that's done at birth, or is this something that's putting the food to actually change our sex orientation.
Right, right. Yeah, like I said, I don't think you're born gay or straight. Okay, you based on the equipment you come with and the anatomy, that's what makes you what you are. And by, you know, therefore you should be attracted to the opposite sex because that's what brings about life, that's what keeps the species going, blah, blah, blah. However, when you add these different social aspects and, like you say, the food with the hormones and all these things, the chemicals, they can alter these things, you know. But just based on you being born, you know, with a penis, that makes you a man, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Regardless of what society, you know, whatever definitions your society has for a man, by you having a penis, that makes you a man. Therefore, that penis should not be, you shouldn't be with another man. You know what I mean? And vice versa for a woman, based on the equipment that you, that God blessed you with, this is what you have. Therefore, there's really nothing you can do with another woman except for play. You know what I'm saying? It's not sex. You're just playing. You're just doing an act of play. You know what I mean? And same with the man, because you're not producing anything. It's not constructive. You know, it's just not, you know, it's just not what's up, and it should not be promoted in society as the norm or an alternative. You know, it shouldn't be promoted as such. It should be, you know, in my opinion, it should be frowned upon. Not saying that, you know, they should be respected, rights like people. And furthermore, like, we should not know what people are doing in their bedroom anyway. Like, it should never even, you know, I don't think it should even come up, because it really has no burn on the person doing the job, you know, unless you just flaming and you just out there, or you just, you know, but it really has no burn on a job. I still shouldn't know what you're doing at 11 o'clock at night. Like, that has nothing to do with nothing. You know what I'm saying? By yourself with another adult. Like, I shouldn't even know. You know, but yeah, I just leave it right there for now. I digress.
Yeah. Okay, that leads us to, how do you feel about wealthy pastors living a plush lifestyle?
I understand the game. I ain't mad at him. Next.
Okay.
Nah.
I think it should be in moderation. So we'll move on.
Right.
My
mind
stays the same. Do you celebrate Thanksgiving?
Oh, we did that one. yeah, mine's still the same. I mean, that was just a couple weeks ago.
Mine's definitely still the same.
Yeah, go back to the archives.
Yeah, how do you feel about corporal punishment?
Right, being kids, mine's still the same.
Yeah, mine's too. If you don't break their neck and kill them and you're doing it in love, hey, smack them.
Right.
If you're doing it in love. I mean, don't abuse them, no, but don't do it out of anger. Do it out of love. Okay, so what do you think about the modern day slavery going on in Libya? I think it's horrible.
Oh,
it was the same then.
Yeah, it's horrible. Yeah, agreed. I think you said it was horrible then.
Yeah, slavery is always horrible. And what is Bitcoin?
Ah, what is Bitcoin? That was a good show. Bitcoin is the digital cryptocurrency. And it's still, I'm telling you, family, it's still early. You know, anybody listening, you can still get in. Check that show out. There's a lot of information on there. There's some links on there as well. But, yeah, it's still early. It is an investment. You know, you got to let it sit for a year or two and just let it do what it do. But there's a lot of information out there. I would just encourage people just to look into it. Like, you know, look into it. See if it's something you're interested
and
in.
And what
only
about,
yeah, only use what you can afford to lose, and I'll leave it there. Go ahead, love the set. Yeah, so what was the next show? I know we did the Bitcoin show, and then there was something else after that, but as far as Bitcoin, like I say, there's a lot of different other cryptocurrencies besides Bitcoin. Bitcoin is not the only one, you know, just for information. Like, there's thousands of them. There's new ones every day coming out. Some of them are under a dollar. Some of them are pennies that you can invest and turn a nice profit. But you got to let it sit. You got to let it sit.
And yeah, that was crazy.
You cannot, sell, you know. So just keep that in mind. Bitcoin, digital currency, cryptocurrency, look into crypto space. I'm telling you, you can build some wealth for your family in a few years. All right, love the show.
Okay. The review of The Hidden History of Haiti, the movie 1804.
Oh, yeah, that was a good show. Yep. Go back and look at that. Yep.
I still need to watch that movie.
Yeah, you definitely gotta watch it. Love it,
yeah, I'm going to. Yeah. And do you celebrate Christmas or Kwanzaa?
Right, that was just we just did that one. I mean, mine's still the same. That was last week, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So we got 3 minutes to the wrap up. But yeah, I just want to say, you know, a big ashe to everybody that we lost. If you lost a loved one this year, big ashe, you know, to your family making the transition. Love and light to all the listeners. Thanks for the support. Thank my co-host, Love Lachey and Mufasa Ra. You know, this is Brother Kevin. This is CMR. We're coming up on our year anniversary. Hopefully we can keep going and we go add some new things for 2018. We just kind of working on it, but we should add, you know, whether it's some production things or what have you, we're going to try to add some to the platform. Love Lachey, any closing words?
No, I'd just like to thank everybody for taking this year-long journey with us. It's been interesting, very a learning experience, and it was very exciting. So I'm just looking forward to the next year. I want everybody to continue to support and listen in and tune in every Sunday, 6 p.m. Central Standard Time. We have some great shows coming up, some great things coming up for the future. And just continue to follow us. Find us on Facebook, Instagram, all those things, Blog Talk Radio.
Indeed. We hear Collective Minds Radio in the building. 2018, here we come.
2018.
Should be a good one. I can't wait.
Yes, and everybody be careful out there. If y'all plan on going out,
Be careful on this New Year's Eve.
Yes.
You know they got checkpoints set up probably in your city, so just be careful. You know, seatbelt on, designated driver.
Always watch. Yes, be safe.
Yes.
Happy
New
Year.
Yourself.